Welcome to Raw Thoughts with Mackenzie Tiggs. Today I have Glenn Wilson. He is a 16-year-old. I wish you were 16 years old.
I don't. I'm much happier at this age.
16 years in firefighting and a loan officer. So I met him through my team, 28 Market, April Florzik. You've known her for many years.
Oh, yeah.
Came in, did a presentation to us, actually, and talking about the cost of waiting. So that's kind of how you and I have met. I jumped into the real estate world right about the same time you jumped into being a loan officer. So kind of tell us your story.
You bet. Yeah. So, and it's funny because I think in that first meeting when you and I sat down in April's office, I don't even think we knew that there was that first responder.
Like, we had no idea.
Right? No idea. And then so we found out, you know, from there on, like so many things in common. So I think that's awesome. So yeah, so you nailed it. So I've been with, I've been a firefighter in Idaho here for 16 years. This fall will be 17. It's just flown by.
Wow.
I wanted to do it ever since I was just a little kid. Grew up in a little town in California. It's funny, everybody thinks California, they're like, oh, you grew up in LA. No, I grew up in like a town that's smaller than my current subdivision in Meridian is. So really small. That's what I wanted to do. I had done other jobs and stuff growing up. I worked construction a lot, did a lot of other things. And I started volunteering for our local volunteer fire department. And that's when I kind of got the bug. I'm like, this is awesome. I really enjoy this.
Yeah. What part? Because I feel like a lot of people do start out with the volunteer you know, side of it. What was that like drive that you're like, oh, I like this. This is what I want.
Yeah, that's a good question. So there was, it sounds cheesy, but it was awesome to be able to show up on somebody's like worst day and be able to figure out how to help them. And I mean, even today, you know, all these years later, that's still the coolest thing about the job. I mean, yes, it's super fun, like the family atmosphere, hanging out with the guys, station life, but ultimately showing up to somebody's problem and being able to fix it, awesome.
Yeah.
So that's what's kept me in firefighting forever.
Yeah, you definitely walk up to a scene, a situation, and that's all you have.
Yeah.
You only have what's on your fire truck. You only have, you know, what's in your head, your knowledge, your experience, and it's like, figure it out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That was my most favorite part of being a paramedic as well.
For sure.
Because you have to adapt. You have to overcome in that exact moment. There is nothing more than that present moment. It doesn't matter what happened just 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what is going to happen in the future. It is the now within being a first responder.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting way to kind of view, you know, just view life in general, but view those specific things is that you're given a limited amount of information and you need to make a decision right now. And you need to make sure that your decision helps the person in need. And yeah, in both, in all of that, whether it's, you know, putting out a fire or whether it's helping somebody that's having, you know, a medical condition, that's the thrill of it. Put on your detective hat. What am I here? What can I do in the next, you know, 2 minutes to make this problem start to go away? So yeah, I think we share that, you know, that's a common bond that, you know, being in those situations has been super fun to be able to help people that way.
Yeah. And would you say that working as a firefighter and now doing home loans, that can translate?
Absolutely. And it's funny because a lot of people are like, geez, those two jobs are so different. Like, is there any commonality at all?
Right.
And there's a ton of commonality. It's still based on ultimately having a core value of just wanting to serve and wanting to help people. And that applies in both. Now, the cool thing, and you found this a ton in your real estate career also, is that instead of walking into somebody's like worst day, we get to help them out on their best day.
Absolutely.
And that is so awesome. It's so good for, you know, for me, like even like mentally and everything, just to be able to help people on a good day, sit down and you know, when they're signing on their house, you know, they've got, you know, something they've been trying to do and you've helped them along the way and now they've reached the goal and everybody's happy and it's awesome. So I think that's the biggest thing where those two careers come together.
Yeah, you are definitely on the pendulum where on one side you are working with the bottom 10% of society. I mean, it is hard. It's very negative, you know, mm-hmm. and as much as we want to help people and we have that helping heart, sometimes they don't want our help on the first responder side, just
for
the
sure.
situation, what we're coming into because we are mm-hmm. coming into their worst day, you mm-hmm. know. And then on the other side, we are talking with them. We are working with them in a huge life event mm-hmm. To be able to become a homeowner, to be able to get them into an investment property, whatever that situation is. They are completely different, but at the end of the day, you mentioned we're there to help people. And I think
sure.
that's why you have been able to strive in your business. I have been able to strive in my business, because at the end of the day, I just want to help somebody. And if that's not even getting them into a home, but getting them linked up with you and being able to say, hey, I need to do A, B, and C before I can come on homeowners, I've done my job.
Right.
You know, it's that simple.
Right. And I think it's awesome. I mean, ultimately, you know, I really, like, one thing I was worried about when I first came in to lending is everyone's like, oh, it's a sales job. And what kind of sales, like, experience do you have? I'm like, not much. Like, in college, I worked at like a vitamin shop or something, but that's not really sales kind of experience. But I found out it's not about sales at all. Like, it's about actually being just a caring human being and letting other people see that you're here to help. And then the rest will take care of itself, right? I mean, like, we've both talked about in the past, we believe, I think smarter person than me would remember what this is called. I think it's the law of reciprocity, where you just go out into the world and you try and do good. And in some way, in some shape, in some form, good things will come back to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you talked, so what was kind of your transition within a firefighter? Like, what did that career path look like? I mean, there's so many different aspects of a firefighter, right?
Sure.
You can be the EMT, you can be the paramedic and firefighter, you can be the engine captain, you can be, what is your journey been?
Yeah, so started off, you know, like I said, as a volunteer firefighter, and then I was like, oh, I really like this. And at the same time, I was going to EMT school, and I thought, I really like this too. And so we were in California that time, and my wife and I talked about it, and I think I'd really like to try paramedic school. You know, I love putting on the detective hat and finding out what the issue is and being able to fix it. And medic school, we found out in the Boise area through Idaho State, was like a third of the cost of trying to do it in California.
Okay.
So the plan was come here and go to medic school. So I finished medic school, and right about that time is when city departments were starting to hire paramedic firefighters. So that's how I got hired. And then I just kind of worked my way up through the ranks. So I've been a firefighter and then an engineer and then a training captain, which was super fun, running academies and stuff. And then now I'm an engine captain and have my own crew. So that's a ton of fun. I don't do near as much paramedic skill stuff anymore, but it's been a lot of fun. But then I guess I should also say, so then from there to lending. Like,
yeah, what was that transition?
Yeah, I always figured I was going to be a firefighter for my entire career. And two back surgeries later, I thought, maybe that's not my reality. I still feel good right now, but I felt really good between back surgeries one and two also. So I started to kind of look for what other things are out there that I'm interested in that I can still help people in that I could potentially do if I can't be a firefighter anymore. Well, I have a little sister that's a lender in another state, and she's like, seriously, bro, you would love this. Like, this is great. Like, she's like, I know you think that there's nothing in common with what you do and what I do, but you'll be surprised. And like we talked about, there's a ton in common. So
you still have the mustache from being a firefighter to a lender.
Yeah, I know,
so you
right?
got it.
I know, and now I got to keep it, because that's how a lot of people know me. They'll be like, oh, yeah, I heard that guy talk before. What's his name? He's the mustache guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she got me interested, and then, you know, from then on, it was the schooling and the testing and everything, and then I landed in an awesome place where I have mentors, and I've got, you know, coaching and an amazing place to help me grow my own business, which has been an amazing thing. So for, you know, for who knows how long, I'll continue to juggle both, and then, you know, maybe I go juggling both all the way till the end of my retirement age as a firefighter, and maybe there's an opportunity to leave sooner than that. I don't know yet, and that's part of the fun of life, right?
Yeah.
We have these plans and we see how they pan out.
Absolutely. So two back surgeries. Was that from encountered on a call? Was that encountered just on life? Like what brought you to that?
So both of them were on the job. And the first one was me trying to keep up with 20-year-olds doing CrossFit and found out that I couldn't. And then the second one was almost like a re-injury, and on the job re-injury, where the next disc spot up couldn't handle the load because the disc below it was gone. So,
oh wow.
Yeah. So now I try and be a lot more, I would say safe, but I think smart's the right word.
You got to learn somehow, Glenn.
Yeah, I know. I'm a hard learner sometimes.
That's awesome. So how many people are on your engine and that you kind of take over while you're on shift?
Yep. So there's just me and two other guys, generally an engineer and a firefighter. And every once in a while, we'll have a fourth guy, which would be a second firefighter. And so that's, we keep the engine companies. Right now, we'd love to have four guys all the time. We can do a lot more with four guys than we can with three. It's almost an exponential thing. But right now, most of the time, just the three of us rolling around on our favorite fire engine.
Yeah, absolutely. And, with understanding the market mm-hmm. and being a first responder,
yeah.
how is that impacting you guys at work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So we are seeing a ton of people from outside of Idaho that move in. And sometimes it'll spark different calls because they'll be like, well, hold on, they're burning stuff over here. And it's like, well, no, that's part of what we do in Idaho to get rid of,
right.
the overgrowth in the ditches and things like that. Yeah. So it'll spark some extra calls. There's some people perhaps that don't understand that things we find normal here are not normal where they are from. And so there's been some different call things from that. But overall, I think generally just the big difference is how many more calls we are all running now. Yeah. You look at probably every department across the state is running, significantly more calls now. It's just just part of our growth.
It is. Yeah. It definitely is a part of our growth of where we have people from out of state coming into state, mm-hmm. And just the rapid response that we've had from that in such a short amount of time, I think is what, we just can't keep up with a lot of times. And then you bring all these people and then you bring more cars and then you bring, less attention. People are on their cell phones all the time. And then that, sparks wrecks. You have out of staters coming in with our weather, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, but people do not know how to drive in the snow. They slam on their brakes, and that those all are making more calls for you guys.
For sure.
And then that's also bringing more work, more demand, more stress really at the end of the day.
For sure. And then you add, and then you take a place that's growing as fast as where we live, and then you drop COVID on top of that.
Yeah.
And then, things just went through the roof for a while. We were, luckily it seems to be getting better, but man, I tell you what, it was tough for a while that almost any call we went on, we got completely, gowned up with the gown and the mask and the, the glasses and everything to somebody that was super, super sick. And so luckily that's seeming to ease off. But it all takes a toll, right? I mean, you wonder how many reps do all of us have at whatever we're doing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is a scary deal. I know that that's one reason why I ended up switching, careers is a big portion of just the calls that we were seeing. My dad, he retired as a paramedic and did it for many years. And I think the longevity of that was because the types of calls and how many calls that they were doing, 20 years ago is nothing like we're doing nowadays.
Yeah.
And our culture, our people, I'm sorry, but they're not nice.
Sure.
They really are not nice.
Things have changed a lot over the years, huh?
Yeah. And, especially with real estate, I used to walk into the bottom 10%. I've said this to mm-hmm. you. I used to walk into the bottom 10% of homes. You were afraid you were going to get bed bugs. You were afraid that you're going to fall through, the floor. It was a hazmat situation, but you needed to get to that person. Now I go and I walk through the top 10% of homes.
Right.
And I'm like, Mackenzie, do not touch anything. You cannot afford to break this. I'm like a child now. Keep your hands in your pockets. We're just here to look.
Right.
We look with our eyes, not our hands. Mm-hmm. And, and within that, we're all human at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where you and I can put our jobs aside. We can see their situation. We can see them as people.
For sure.
And say, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. I mean, it's like I tell my kids too, the most important thing in life is just to be a good human.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're actually your career and all those other things are all secondary to just being a good human. We've both interacted with people that, are on the bottom of the, socioeconomic ladder, and they're some of the sweetest and kindest and best hearted people that you've ever met in the universe.
Yeah.
And so, just being a good human, I think, is something that's, super important for all of us.
Yeah. So you brought up your kids.
Yeah.
And I feel like you need to do a little shout out for your kids they are so happy you're on here. Whoa, the cool dad.
I know. It was funny. I think I mentioned this to you the other day. When I mentioned to my kids that I was going to be on a podcast first, they're like, no way. No way you're not. And so then I pulled up, the podcast actually, on Apple. And they're like, wait, seriously, dad's going to be on a podcast? My 13-year-old daughter, Sadie, was like, that's pretty cool, Dad. That's pretty cool. And so shout out to my boys, Austin and Dylan. Austin's 18. He is going to go away to college to ISU this next year. So that'll be a big transition for the whole family. It'll be cool. Dylan's 16, almost 17, just loving life. And then Sadie, our little baby princess girl, is going to be a high schooler next year.
Oh, so my gosh. I know.
So things are getting crazy in the Wilson family for
sure.
Wow. But yeah.
And do they have any drive to follow you in your career path, or what are they wanting to do?
Yeah, it's interesting. So as teenage kids do, they're kind of finding their way in life. But right now, Austin is signed up to enter ISU's fire science program because he does have an interest there. And then Dylan is, I would say he's like the entrepreneur of the bunch.
Yeah.
And so he's got all kinds of questions about, so what does a loan officer do, and how do things go? And he's actually, he asked me, I'll teach classes for realtors to help build their business. And he wants to come to the next one and see like, oh, so what else does dad do? He teaches? Like what? Like, cool. I want to see this. So yeah. So both boys have a little interest on either side of what I do, which has been interesting.
That's cool. And what about Sadie?
I don't know what Sadie's going to be yet. Like she was born and blessed with like the loving, kind heart of her mom. So her and Shauna are very similar. And Sadie just wants to help people.
Oh.
So sometimes she says, yeah, I want to be a nurse, or I want to do, you know, hers is always, I just want to help people. She's like the best friend anybody could ever have, right? All of her friends just love her.
Oh, how fun. She'll find something.
Oh, for sure.
And she's just like the epicenter of you, like just wanting to help people.
Yep.
You
know? Let me just help.
Oh,
yeah.
How cool. And how, you know, I grew up with parents as first responders.
Gotcha.
How does your family handle that?
Yeah, so it's super interesting because my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and my dad did taxes and investments and stuff for a living. So they didn't have any kind of like pre-hand like knowledge about what it's like to be a first responder. And now they have me and my brother are both firefighters now. And then I've got another brother that I think trumps us both. He's an airline pilot. He'll let you know that's way cooler.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool.
So it's been interesting, like kind of giving them the behind-the-scenes look. Like we started off talking about, like with my dad, his goal was just to help people. And he did that through, you know, helping managing their money and things like that. I found different ways to help people in mine. I mean, it's funny how it all can come back to the same core value.
Yeah. And with your kids, you know, how there's days that you have to miss. Mm-hmm. There's holidays you have to miss. There's functions that you have to miss as a dad.
Yeah.
You're on the job. How has that, you know, been ingrained within your own family?
Yeah. So I think for them, I always thought it would be super difficult for kids like that, but because I was already in that schedule as they were really super little or not even born yet and growing up, it's just part of how life went.
Yeah.
And they knew that sometimes that mom would bring a birthday cake and them to the station for us to sing happy birthday, you know, but they've kind of rolled with it. And then, I talked to my boys before I went into lending. My boys and I try and do a backpacking trip in the Sawtooths every year.
Oh, wow.
And so we were up there talking, and I said, dudes, you know, I'm thinking about this big, you know, career shift, but it also means that I'm going to be super busy. Like the time I used to have at home to hang out and stuff, like I'm not going to have near as much. And those two little mature little knuckleheads are like, Dad, do you see how old we are? We work. We don't have as much time to spend with you anymore, so it'll be okay.
They were like, turn it in.
I know.
You.
And they were right. They're like, you know what? Let's just focus on like quality time instead of the quantity that we had. So, I mean, they've been awesome to be able to roll with stuff and understand that, you know, sometimes dad has to be here. Sometimes he has to be here. But when he's home, he's going to try really hard to, you know, spend time. And that was really like the whole last year, I would say like my word was balance. Like I had to figure out how to balance everything. And I don't think we ever, you know, the teeter-totter is never perfectly stable. We're all, you know, trying to make little adjustments.
Right, right.
But yeah, I think we're getting there, though. We're getting there.
Oh, that's awesome. And I mean, I loved growing up in a first responder, you know, family. I mean, my mom was a dispatcher.
That's
my
right,
dad,
yeah.
My dad was a paramedic. I mean, all my aunts, uncles, police officers, that's all I knew. Mm-hmm. My best friend, her dad was a firefighter as well. So it was totally normal for us kids, instead of going out and partying on a Friday night, to be like, oh, let's go to the fire engine and see who's working. You know, like dad's on shift, mom's on shift. And I mean, it was just I loved growing up in that because there was a sense of helping others, even when you were at a young age. It was totally normal for us to say, hey, you know what? Christmas isn't on, you know, this exact day. Like, we're moving it to the Saturday, you know, your birthday. I'm really sorry. We're going to have to rearrange it. And I think that's really where that adapt and overcome came from within my family was, wait, there's other things in life than about you,
right?
You know, and for a kid that can be hard sometimes because they are very, you know, centralized with growing up. But I mean, I definitely have resemblance with your kids where it's like, yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, quality is so much
for sure,
so much better than quantity. You know.
You know what's funny also? So with growing up in a first responder family, when you were a teenager, and I don't think you probably ever got, you know, did anything outside the lines or out of bounds as a teenager, right?
Perfect.
However, I would say that most teenagers that were in first responders families would also be like, if I get out of line too bad, I'm pretty sure that my dad gets the first call because he probably knows every police officer, firefighter, and EMT and medic in this whole town, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember my older sisters were those ones that tested the boundaries.
Oh, gotcha. And thank goodness for older sisters.
Yeah. Huh? They were the ones that put me through the ringer of like, that's what I'm not going to do. And that's what I'm not going to be like. Because I do remember my mom called one of the the officers over to our house and sat down with, you know, my oldest sister. And just started reaming into her and just giving her a lesson, you know, about what had happened and the safety of things. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because I saw the precursor of it. I saw my mom talk with the officer and say, hey, I need you to talk to her about this and this and this.
What a good mom.
Right? And then I saw it, you know, and I was like, oh, shit, I not want.
Yeah.
And if I get pulled over, mom's going to know. Oh, and I'm sure I'm going to know the officer. I'm going to get reamed by the officer as well. Like, we're just not going there, you know. But I do. I mean, I remember, you know, different days, different. So when people call me at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday as buyers, I answer it because I would so much rather do that than be gone for 48 hours, you know, not being there for times. And, you know, this January, my mom's birthday, I was over at the house. We were doing dinner, writing up an offer at the same time. And they're like, do you really have to do that? And I'm like, I would much rather be here with you and at least have to do some work than not be here at all. And it really is that balancing effect.
I agree. We were lucky enough to just get back from Arizona visiting Shauna's folks. And, you know, we went out to dinner. We, you know, went and saw some really cool places. And then when we went back to the hotel room, then I went to work, you know, got my little computer out. And they're like, seriously? Like, hey, I'm doing this now so that we could spend all that time there. It's part of the balancing act.
You know? Absolutely. And I think you also get to do more of that, right?
For sure.
Would you rather have no trip at all and me be at home, or would you want me to work a little bit while we're on vacation and you get both of them?
Yep, exactly. No, that's a good point.
That's super. So you talked briefly about also teaching realtors. What do you do in the teaching role?
Yeah, so that's one thing that I found I really like. So I guess I didn't even really know how much I enjoyed teaching until I started doing a lot of it through the fire department, like when I was helping to run academies, and you start to teach guys that are super interested in getting better at their job and everything. And so now I figure, why can't I do the same for realtors? I want to help people succeed. And so I was able to find like a group of classes that people are super interested in, whether it's like, you know, branding your business or, you know, how to do video marketing and these kinds of topics that people are actually interested in. And then I can go present them and then follow up and be like, hey, how's that working for your business? And my goal is, you know, twofold, to get to know a bunch of people. And number two, for them to be able to come back and be like, that tip that I got from you, that just got me this deal.
Yeah.
Like, if it comes back to me, awesome. If it just made their business better, that's even better, right?
Right.
So I'm finding that that's a super fun part of the job. And so another interesting thing, I would say I'm actually a fairly introverted person. And that is not the role that I can play if I want to be a successful lender, right?
No. So there's gotta be out there.
Yeah. So there's so many. So, I mean, you know, like, it's the same with being a great realtor. Like, you have to be okay to go outside of your comfort zone and to, like, call people you don't know, or to get up in front of people, or to sit in on awesome podcasts.
Yeah.
You know? So that's been an awesome, like, just a personal, kind of a personal growth piece of doing something different.
Well, and they always say too, when you're able to teach somebody about it, you learn about it so much deeper. And so you being able to teach those classes, I remember going to, you know, the class at the first of the year, talking about your yearly planning and being able to just take one of those ideas and say, hey, I'm going to call five people. I'm going to give my business card to five people. Yeah. It really does just put yourself out there and you have to do that or nobody knows where you are. And they probably have some other friend that's a lender or, you know, an agent and they're going to go work for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a relationship business, right? So the more relationships that we can build and let people see that we're a normal person and not this, you know, big scary person who's going to, you know, do bad things with their money. Like there's just a normal person who wants to help me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's so much different than the first responder world because they really try to, you don't need to show what your life is and what you're doing off shift and, you know, really being careful because you are a representation of that county, of that agency, of you know, globally of a firefighter or a paramedic. And so it really kind of gets shunned on you that you can't show stuff on social media.
You
have to be very careful what you comment because it can come back and jeopardize your job.
For sure, yeah.
Where this other, you know, we're totally on the flip side where it's like, nope, you got to be posting every day. You got to show them what you're doing, what restaurants you're going to. And it's just a different world.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a fun world, right? I mean, it's fun to be like, hey, here's who I am and here's what I enjoy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, no, I agree.
I think it's... I think it really just shows to the people of who you want to attract, you know, oh, they like that. I like going hiking, you know, it's just a more personable touch than having just calling them up and having no idea what you do on your off time or why you know about these random places in town, you know, to go.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. So what exact classes do you teach for real estate agents?
Yep. So far it's the, let's see, what was the one at the first of the year? It's like, oh, business planning class. So the first of every year I'll do a business planning class and then video marketing I do. There's a class waiting to be approved right now by the Real Estate Commission on building your own brand. And then there's classes on deeper dives into things like Instagram and Facebook and how to use those for your benefit, how to set up your own Google My Business page so that people, when they Google realtor in my area, that your name comes up. So stuff like that. I enjoy kind of the marketing side of things. To me, that was one of the most interesting parts of getting into lending is, you know, I work for an awesome company, but it's my job to build my own business. And so I need to have my own brand and I need to be able to do the marketing things that are going to help me to grow and help people to hear about me. So that's the kind of stuff that I want to share with others. At some point, there will be, you know, a YouTube class once I can be as awesome as you and get rolling with YouTube and stuff. A lot of the classes will be, hey, here's what I tried. Here's what worked for me. And here's some tips that I learned along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. About the YouTube, I just have to give a huge shout out to SB Studios because they're the ones behind being able to do the camera work, being able to put it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube and all these different platforms for me.
So cool.
And I think that is why, you know, I can take out an hour of my time during the week and be able to talk to people, be able to broadcast, you know, whatever their story is, whatever their life experience is, because that is how I want to connect with other people. That is how I want to be able to share my story along with others. So huge, huge, huge shout out to SB Studios because I would not be able to do it. Too much time. I tried it. But I also, I mean, you and I have talked for over a year now, right? About being present, being on social media, just get out there, you know, videos, being accountable for each other and saying, hey, it's not perfect, but guess what? Go do it.
Right. Exactly. I think a lot of people, like we've talked to, get in that trap of, oh, if I don't have this perfect presentation, then I better withhold it. No, just get stuff out there.
Yeah. So your branding, how have you branded yourself?
Yeah. So I wish I would have brought a little something I could have showed you. So I've found a brand. It looks like it's two crossed fire axes and then it looks like a house below. So it kind of combines, you know, both of my things. And Fireman Loans or firemanloans.com was my website. And so everything that I do try and do through that brand. So that's, you know, it obviously it applies to me and it, and I think it catches people's attention as well. Like, oh, Fireman Loans, what is that? So then the only downside is people sometimes think, oh, he only does loans for firefighters. Not true. Not
right.
True.
You're like, hit me up.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's been super fun. And, you know, we'll just, you know, see how it goes as, as the years progress and the brand grows and keep supporting the brand and keep supporting people and see where it gets us.
Yeah. So for the listeners, mm-hmm. let's dive a little bit deeper into sure. what actually becoming a homeowner looks like. What, yeah. you know, what if I bring you a client?
Sure.
What's the journey in that? What's yeah. the process?
Awesome. So I like to say I look at a loan as like putting together a puzzle, and everybody's picture is a little bit different and the puzzle pieces are a little bit different. So the first thing that we do is, like, when you send somebody to me, then I just want to know what they're all about. Like, tell me who you are and what your dreams and what your goals are.
Yeah.
Like, let's start there. Let's talk about that stuff. And then, you know, what kind of timeline are you looking at that you want to try and be a homeowner? And then what scares you? What scares you about the process? Because then that gives me the ideas of, okay, here's what I can do to help show them or educate them to be able to overcome some of those fears. And then once we're to a spot that makes sense for everybody, then we get a loan application so I can see what some of the other pieces look like. What does their credit look like? What does their debt to income look like? What is, you know, are there any issues that we can resolve before they need to buy a home? What programs do we have? You know, I mean, there's so many cool things, even especially like with the state of Idaho, that there's stuff that will help to cover parts of your down payment and give assistance to Idaho heroes and first time home buyers and all kinds of stuff. But we just got to know what the pieces are we're working with first.
Yeah. And I always give you I'm like, I have no idea what programs there are. Here's the people. I will go look at the houses. But right. when it comes to the financing part of it,
sure.
leave me out of it. One, because I could care less about numbers.
Right.
Which is bad on me.
Nope,
but,
not at all.
But that's where you take your strengths, and mm-hmm. that is not my strength. And it also is a very emotional toll on these people, just looking yeah. at their finances, being able yeah. to pull in, you know, what do I need to do before I can actually get pre-approved? It may be something as simple, you know, one of the buyers that I sent you the mm-hmm. other day, I just want a bathtub for my kid.
Right. Oh my gosh. That was one of the coolest stories that anyone looking for a loan has ever told me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, as if I didn't want to help you already.
Right.
Now it's like anything that we can do to make this happen for you.
Right. You know? And you just have to ask that question. Like, yeah. why? Why are you wanting to become mm-hmm. a homeowner? And it can be as simple as, hey, I don't have a bathtub for my infant, you yeah. know, and getting them into it. So those programs.
Yep. There's a ton of them.
Yeah,
there's a ton of programs, and it's amazing at how many people that are out there that think that they're like, there's no way I could buy a house. They might be surprised at what they actually could afford to buy. So that's been part of the cool part.
Absolutely. So after they go through, you know, apply with you, mm-hmm. Find the program that they're yep. going to be in, what does that look like afterwards?
Yep. So then once we're good to go and I present them with some options, and they say, yeah, that one makes sense to me. I can afford to do that, and I like that. Then we pre-approve them, and then I give you a call and send them right back to you and say, we are ready to roll.
Yeah.
Now you get to do what you do a great job of and find them the perfect, you know, dream home, forever home, or just getting started home, or investment yeah. home, you know, whatever the particular situation might be. So then you get to go and find the house, and then we take care of making sure everything closes just fine for you.
Absolutely. So what are you seeing interest rates do? I know
yeah,
people listening
going up
are
for
like...
sure. Yep, they're going up for sure. They've gone up just this week. We've seen interest rates go up. You know, there was somebody that I quoted a rate to, last week, I think, and we probably can't touch that rate anymore.
Wow.
And so the part that I hate is I told myself I never wanted to be like a pressure person. I never wanted to be like, hey, we should lock this right now or else. Like, because it seems like something that someone else would use as a scare tactic. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not my jam. You know, that's right. not what I want to do. But I do find myself more and more saying, hey, man, I'm not trying to press you. I'm just saying there's no guarantee this rate's even here tomorrow because of how quickly the market's changing right now.
Yeah, it is insane. And sometimes you're not being pushy, but you just yeah. need to educate them on the urgency of it. You know,
oh,
hey,
yeah.
we don't have time mm-hmm. to think about this or review these things like we did, you know, back in December, back in January, where the market was a little bit slower, which
right.
seasonally does, mm-hmm. right? Everybody wants to focus on holidays and, you know, getting through the year, and they've spent all their money on Christmas presents and haven't even thought about buying a house, right? And it's that urgency of saying, hey, you just found a house on the market. You love it. And if we wait literally one day, it's going to be gone.
Yeah, because you're seeing the exact same thing when you're showing houses.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what would you do? Like the client's like, well, I loved everything about the house except for I would have done like the countertops different. I wish they had granite or something. You know what I mean?
I'm like, that is the smallest, tiniest thing that you can change later, you know? And I don't like that mindset of like, oh, you can change that later.
Sure.
But if your floor plan is good, you like the location, and maybe you don't like the wall color, let's go with it because that amount can cost you down the road as well. Waiting another week because you didn't like a paint color. Well, paint color is very inexpensive to change.
For sure. Yeah. And then I agree with you. And I keep hearing about people that will find little things like, well, I loved the house except this. And then, you know, if the house, well, the house is probably going to sell to somebody else, you know, that day or a couple days later. And even if it were to stay on the market by some miracle, the price is not going to go down on it right now.
No, no. Our supply and demand is so out of whack right now with so many people, you know, out of state moving in here. But even COVID really put a damper on homeowners because they realized, oh, I have too much space. I need to downsize. Oh, I don't have enough space. I'm now working from home and I've never had to work from home.
I need an office. I need a home office.
Yeah, that is one of our biggest, you know, features that people want is an extra room, an office space, and then, you know, room for their kids.
Totally.
And that just, that demand is so astronomical versus what we have for supply. I mean, last week we had, you know, 230 homes that were new that hit the market.
Man.
And I mean, you know, 5-6 years ago, we were like 800.
Right. Yeah, that 200 just went immediately.
It's, I mean, it's just crazy. You know, we're still seeing over-asking prices. We're seeing also the urgency of, hey, if the market and the interest rates do continue to go up and our home prices continue to go up, you're now going to be priced out of a home and you're not going to have anything.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. We are at a point now where we're starting to forecast a lot of those things happening. Right now, there's a very small percentage of people that will get priced out. But if this same curve continues, you're 100% on the money. Yeah. It's going to get even more difficult for people, which is sad, right? I mean, which is sad. You want to see people that, you know, grew up here and everything be able to still afford a home here. And like I was saying earlier, there are some different programs we can use to help them. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And you know, of course, I look into this a ton and research this. Nobody's predicting that we're like on the edge of a housing bubble here.
No.
Like there is too much demand and too little supply for everything to go crazy like they did in 2008. I mean, it's just, it may slow down a little bit, but that upward curve is still going on.
Yeah. And we're still seeing, you know, I love asking buyers, even if they're not my clients, what's motivating you move? The biggest things, you know, like I said, is getting a bigger home or downsizing. But people from out of state are moving here because of our culture, because of our area, because we do have a diverse, you know, weather system. We have diverse, you know, flats and mountains and trees and being able to go and hike and bike and then go downtown to the city part of it. Like there's just so much to be able to do. But we're also seeing so many people move in from politics.
Oh, for sure.
That, you know, with COVID, the mandates, the vaccines. I mean, there's just so much variety.
Yeah.
But those seem to be really the three things that are continuing to bring people here to our area. And it also doesn't help our supply chain is completely out of whack.
Right.
I mean, I think if we could build houses fast enough, they would. But we just literally cannot.
Right.
There was... you know, just looking at some new construction, I mean, like HVAC systems, can't get them right now. Garage doors, 14 months out. Sub-zero fridges, 14 months out. It's like, you're right. You could build a brand new house, but you're not going to get your C of O because you don't have a fridge.
Yeah, right. I know. It is. It's crazy. And it always makes you wonder like, well, okay, once we get used to whatever this form of crazy is, what's the next form of crazy that's around the corner, right?
I don't know if I want to know yet.
No, I know, right?
And then, you know, I think also where this really ties in with you is that we do have all this growth coming in from the area. that not only, you know, in your business is great because you're getting people, you know, loans and getting people in there, but then our infrastructure just cannot seem to hold up. You know, if we wanted to build all these houses, if it was a great situation and we had the supply, we had, you know, people being able to get the material here, that would be great. But our road systems, I mean, our first responders, our hospitals, our gas stations, there's just not enough of them. And we can't get that, you know, fast enough.
I agree. And you've been there before. I was going to say, just consider trying to drive, you know, a fire engine or an ambulance down Eagle Road when we're even close to like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock traffic.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's why I never worked for Ada County. I'll stay in my rural areas you know, maybe a longer transport time, but don't have to deal. We got to deal with a deer, you know.
A little bit different, hazards on the road.
Exactly. Well, what is one thing that you, maybe a misconception on being able to become a homeowner and the lending side?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions is people just think, for whatever reason, whether it's they think they've got awful credit or they think they don't make enough money or they think they could never save up, you know, enough for a down payment. In many cases, each one of those things are not as bad as they think.
Right.
You know, everybody thinks, oh, I got to have like 20% down. You don't have to have 20% down.
Huge misconception.
Yeah. You can get in a house like 3% down and we can do like second mortgage in some cases, not for everybody, right? But we can do that to cover even part of that. So like, there are options. And I think people are frustrated about thinking that they can't buy a house, or they're renting and they've seen their rent go up and up and up and they're frustrated. And it just seems like the next frustration for them to, okay, well now I'm going to call a lender and he's just going to tell me what I already think, that I can't afford this. So I'm not even going to make a call. When oftentimes I think we could do more than they're aware that we could do.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the, you know, misconceptions of those, what do you want to see people be able to do? Is it reach out to you? Is it how do you want to fix that? How do you want to help that?
Yeah, I think this applies to a lot of different things. If somebody is unsure about something, but they have a goal, then research it, whether it's reaching out to me, reaching out to you, reaching out to a friend that's in the same business. I mean, don't assume that, oh, I can't do this. Like, say, you know what, this is my goal. Let me see how reasonable this really is. Like, let me put in the work. Let me research it, you know. And so, yeah, of course, I would love to talk to people and they say, well, here's my situation. Well, yeah, let's see where you're at, you know. But I think in more things than just in home buying, I think sometimes people give up on themselves a little too easy, right? Yeah. Like, if you've got a goal, figure out what it's going to take to get to your goal, you know. I mean, we all have different goals and sometimes we get disappointed. But, you know, I saw a quote today that was like, you know, the winner is just the guy that got knocked down and continued to get up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we feel knocked down because we're frustrated. I don't think I could buy a home, or I don't think I can do this. But if we just get up and keep trying, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes there's options we didn't even know about.
Absolutely. Well, while we wrap things up, how can people be able to contact you?
Sure. So easiest way, go to firemanloans.com. That's my cool website.
Yeah.
It's got all my contact info. It's got my personal cell phone number on it. You know, like you were saying, I don't care if somebody calls me at 9 o'clock at night. Like, I've literally gotten up at 2 a.m. because to go on an emergency call because somebody had a bloody nose.
Yep.
So if you have a lending question or you're wanting to buy a house and you call me after 5 o'clock, it's totally fine. I'll answer the phone. You text me, whatever. So that's where all the info is, firemanloans.com.
Perfect. So we can find you on Instagram at Glenn Wilson _fireman loans.
You got it.
I'm super intrigued on getting you onto YouTube and being able to.
Oh, I got
to
make the jump. I got to do it.
Do it like I just dive in.
I love that.
Balls to the wall.
I love that. Totally all in. We'll just see where we land and everything will be awesome. No, I love that.
Yeah. Like one coffee day, I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to start a podcast. The second coffee day, hey, Glenn, I did start a podcast. Like, and he's like, wait, what?
You did what already? Like, sometimes when I say those things, I mean in my mind, like, sometime during this year, when Mackenzie says that, it's like within the next 2 days.
Sometimes I don't know if it's good or bad. So, well, I really appreciate you being able to come on.
Thanks.
Talk about being a fireman, talk about, you know, home loans, home ownership, and everything in between. So
awesome.
Hopefully maybe I can come on to your podcast, but shout out to your kids, out to your family, out to everybody that has been able to teach you. And I appreciate you coming on.
Awesome. Thanks so much. This was awesome. Thanks.
Yay. Thank you. It's like I said before we put these, the headphones on, it's totally like we're in the fire engine.
I know it totally is. Right.
Like hop on the side you see. Let's go for a call.
Love it.
Yes. Awesome. Thanks Glenn again.
Yeah. Thanks Mackenzie.
Okay. Thanks guys. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.